The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Want to do the critical hit sponsor?
Critical hit.
All right, here we go. Sponsor. It's on the bottom of that page.
Okay.
3-2. This episode of Critical Hit is sponsored by Loot Crate. Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box that is full of awesome geek and gamer items, as well as pop culture gear. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items that include a t-shirt, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items.
Next time around, join us as we celebrate the futuristic. July's crate is full of items from your pop culture's favorite prognostications of science and the future. Look towards tomorrow with items from Rick and Morty, Futurama, Star Trek. I love the Star Trek. Mm-hmm. Mega Man, Valiant Comics. They're doing the 4001 crosser, I believe, Star Trek, including a model, a figure, and the monthly tee and the pin.
Ah, oh, man, this sounds like a fantastic, or I should say, futuristic box this month. Now, here's the important part, everybody.
Fascinating.
Fasceristic? Last week we had dystoperific, so we can do futuretastic.
There you go.
Futuretastic. If you want to get your hands on this futuretastic box, you have until July 19th, 9 o'clock p.m. Pacific, to subscribe and receive this month's crate. And if you miss that deadline, you are out. So make sure you head over to lootcrate.com/critical. Enter the code critical. Save $3 on any new subscription. It's that easy. All you do is sign up, use the critical code, and then sit back and wait for the awesome Loot Crate to arrive at your door. Remember, that's www.lootcrate.com/critical. Use the code critical and save $3 on your new subscription. Oh, Matthew, it sounds so good.
Booyah.
But you know what sounds better?
What's that?
This week's episode of Critical Hit.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members. Thank you for your support of Major Spoilers and the Major Spoilers Podcast Network. If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
Welcome to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers podcast. Thank you for downloading, and thank you for sharing this episode with a friend. Also, thank you to all of our Major Spoilers VIPs out there. We appreciate it. If you would like to sign up to become a VIP, members.majorspoilers.com. Sign up today. Oh, we're still all week later, and we're still all sad. The Hulk theme music has been playing on the loudspeakers 24/7. The rain is pouring.
Yes.
I was hoping to ask the assistant for some help, but alas, no
Stella!
Assistant.
That's the assistant's name is Stella, by the way.
I don't think so. Rodrigo, please give us some good news this week.
No.
God dang you.
So, last time.
On Critical Hit. Or maybe we should all be like, On Critical Hit.
As far as I'm concerned, all right, that's enough. We don't want to get sued. There was a gamblage that didn't quite work out, and assistant was gamblaged away. And now they have gotten a fix on his location, which is in another district. Did you guys decide that you were going to head over there?
Yes. Yeah.
I think that's the plan.
In our finest clothing.
Okay.
Because once again, subtlety.
Well, subtlety is not really an issue here. It is, you know, you guys have been all kinds of places, and even with all the stuff that you've done and seen, it is really a crazy, jarring sight to go from the platform that you were in into this one, into the one where Dragonfly is in. It is all glowing lights, clean streets, fancy restaurants, ballrooms, theaters, and lots of people walking around having a great time. It is a party.
I don't suppose we got from the coordinates a general this district, but anything more specific?
Yeah, actually, they're pretty specific.
Oh, cool. And yeah, I'll picked up a map so we can narrow it down and try to figure out where exactly we're looking for.
Yeah. You follow the map and make it to this kind of little kind of cul-de-sac of venues. There's a little music hall and a casino type place and a couple of restaurants. And this is roughly the general area. Why don't all of you give me a perception check? Is it perception? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. To perceive things.
Yep.
18.
27.
19.
That one was a card.
That was a nat one.
32 for Rance.
It's not like he didn't see it.
No, but for the audience.
Sure.
It's not like they didn't hear it. I mean, we rolled dice. Somebody had to get a one.
Yes, but it's not often that it's you.
True, but that's not the point.
Well, yes, Sakaar doesn't see it. But Randa's spot on basically that music hall has a couple of guys standing on top of it. They are keeping a close eye on the restaurant across the little cul-de-sac.
I basically alert Little Sparkle to that.
She'll nod. Okay. Can I borrow the hat again?
Sure. Yeah. I think you still had it on.
Yeah.
Oh, I still do.
Yeah.
Cool. Perfect. Then I will go grab a seat at, go check out that restaurant.
Okay.
Okay, what do the rest of you do?
Act natural.
Yes.
I mean, when you say this is a party atmosphere, is this Mardi Gras, or is this more like...
I mean, it's Bourbon Street, but not necessarily on Mardi Gras.
Okay. Is it Las Vegas?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Or, you know, it's
So we're looking for the all-you-can-eat chicken wing buffet.
You know, yeah, any sort of downtown entertainment district type thing.
Okay.
Get yourself a liter of margarita.
Yes.
Sounds excellent. I'll take
God, that's a lot of margarita.
Some would say it's not enough.
You know, Pike's Place or the Short North or some other place that nobody else would be familiar with if they haven't lived exactly the places that I have.
We shall go over there to the place called Club 3.
We will.
Third best club in town. Yep.
You have gone to the first best club. You have gone to the fourth best club. But you have not met the power of the third best club. That is a deep cut for all you guys. you guys just try to go into the casino and hang out there?
Just to kind of hang out. Enjoy some of the free drinks while we stay close to the door.
Well, you guys have the money to definitely spend some time in there.
Mm-hmm, okay.
It might cheer up Randus.
Well, it'll probably cheer up Cat.
The slot machines remind him too much of the assistant.
There are no slots.
Aww. Oh, boo.
Well, you gotta be that.
These guys go off to the casino. And Little Sparkle walks into the restaurant. What does Little Sparkle look like?
A different human, you know, more fashionable, better dressed to better fit into this district.
Okay. You walk into the restaurant and it looks pretty normal. You do notice that there is essentially this kind of like curtained off area in the back, and then basically the back of the restaurant kind of comes to a point. On one side of that plane is a curtained off area. On the other is what is most likely the kitchen, and then there are just like a bunch of tables.
Cool.
When you walk in, there's a maitre d'. Smiles at you.
I'll smile back. Is the place like empty, or is it?
No, there's people around. There's people there eating. No one you recognize.
Sure.
Well, maybe a couple people you recognize, but nobody relevant that you recognize.
Fair enough. Is there a table relatively near to the private area?
Sure.
Okay. Something like, mind if I grab a table?
How many?
Just one for now.
Oh, all right. Would you like a table close to the bar?
Would the bar give me a good view of the private area?
Not really, since it's curtained off. Like, your best bet is to get close enough to listen.
Yeah, okay. She'll, like, kind of gesture. I was looking for something a little more private, if that's all right.
Oh, well, our private area has been reserved. But I can get you in that corner over there, if that's all right.
That'd be lovely. Thank you very much.
Okay, follow me. And he grabs some menus and walks over and shoots a glare at Susan. And then, takes you over to the table.
Cool. She'll, like, pull out some, paper or thing from her bag to make it look like, you know, she was planning on eating and working, and that's why she wanted a table by herself.
You might not want to do that.
Oh.
This is not a place that you bring work to. This could be a place. Unfortunately, your best cover is to be a pretty girl that is hoping someone will buy her a drink.
Huh.
Which is why he offered to get you close to the bar.
Ah. Fair enough. All right, well, we'll just roll with it where I am then.
Yep. You actually spot a couple other tables that have one of those or two of those.
Nice. Then, yeah, I will attempt to peruse the menu and listen in.
Okay. Well, the table is close enough that, basically you have two options. You can stay where you are and give me a perception check, or you can try to innocuously move closer to the thing by giving me a bluff check.
I will make that bluff check.
And just so everybody knows, it is a new scene. Enough time has passed. All your encounter powers have reset.
Cool. So bluff check plus hat of disguise, that's going to be a 33.
Okay. Yep, that's more than enough. You can get pretty close. And you actually hear Ulatl on the other side of the curtain. She is talking to a guy. You also get close enough to know that that place seems to be pretty crowded. There's at least maybe four more people back there just from the like shuffling and stuff that you can hear.
Okay. I will listen in at least for a little while to try to figure out who this guy is and what he's offering and things like that.
Okay. You hear them talk a little bit more. She asks to if they have it. They say yes. She talks to somebody else and tells them to check. And you hear some clicking and some stuff opening.
Can I possibly stealth in any sort of way that I could get like a peek through the curtain to try to figure out what is opening?
Oh, certainly.
Sweet. Then I'm going to do that.
Stealthy.
39.
That's pretty good. Yep, definitely. I mean, you know, the door opens, there's a little bit of a current, like anytime the curtain moves, you can just like real quick peek in there. Mm-hmm. And basically, Ulato is in there. There's three other people that are kind of sitting. Basically, it's this big kind of circular area. And the whole wall is like essentially a big booth. Like there's just seating, like essentially cushiony seating all around. And then at the center of it, there's a table and she's at the table. There are a couple of guys. They are very well-dressed, bald guys. It's just the two of them on that side. On the other side, on the wall, there's four guys, all of which you recognize from the bar.
Okay. Go on. I was going to just ask the bald guys, do they have any insignia or would I recognize like they're, you know, the fact that they're bald to be in any way significant?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
But the guys that Randus pointed out outside are bald, which seems a lot more significant now that you realize that all four suspicious types here are bald.
Mm-hmm. Is there a particular like guild or group that's associated with like having all their members shave their heads?
Not necessarily. It's definitely not a coil thing. For example, Hawk Lagoon, you know, has things about contaminating certain things. So some of their science magicians might be bald. Some of Suspire's stuff requires to undergo certain things in order to fit into the particular rituals.
Mm-hmm.
So those guys could be bald. That's probably about it.
Okay.
I think it is Suspire, right, that I'm thinking of.
I think Capricorn is what you're thinking of, that they're the clerics, right?
Yep, I think that it is Capricorn. Yep, okay. That's what I meant.
Okay, cool. Then, yeah, I'll keep kind of observing. And can I tell what they're opening out of this case?
Yeah, so basically they placed a... yeah, it was Capricorn I was thinking about. They placed a big case next to the table. One of the guys that Ulatl is with opens it, and it's like basically facing you. There's just like a bunch of money in there.
Just a briefcase full of money.
Yep, it's like it's basically a chest full of money.
Nice.
It is like floating about that far from the ground, though. So it's some sort of like either enchanted chest or briefly enchanted chest to not seem like it weighs 1,000 pounds and is completely full of money.
Fair. Okay. Does Ulatl take anything out?
Yep, she does. She takes something out of her pocket and shows it to them.
Does it appear to be something like the thing that does it look like it would be the thing that we're looking for?
You're not exactly sure what the thing that you're looking for looks like, but it appears to be a round, like basically if you think of like a coaster, like it's about that size, round, appears to be made of some black material.
Okay. I will wait for now before see watch this handoff happen.
Okay. You see them She puts it on the table and motions for the guy to close the case. He closes the case. The one of the bald guys reaches for the rune. Draws it towards him on the table, picks it up, examines it. He looks at the other guy, nods, and the other guy extends his hand and this like searing bolt of white light shoots out of it, right at her.
Jeez. Perfect. I warned her. Oh man. This is such a bad idea. Do her bodyguards seem to be like about to react to this?
So like your reaction is like stay there and watch?
No, my reaction is about to be I'm going to try to run in and like help stop them from killing her.
Okay. So basically there's a searing light, you bust into the room.
Mhm.
You bust into the room and basically she has her hands up and she is enveloped in this little energy cocoon.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look over, you see one of the guys that's up in the up against the wall and his eyes are glowing and he's got a little wand.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it like friggin' goes off. These guys like kick the table up. You hear this like flitting sound, all of the silver in the room flies at one of the other guys that was with her, as he's like basically he like rips open his shirt and there's like this weird engine at it, like on it.
Yeah.
And essentially all of the silverware in the restaurant just like flies into this room and essentially clings to his stuff so that it like turns into like this weird silverware armor.
Yeah. Holy cow.
Yep. And as this happens, one of the other guys like basically breathes into his hand, one of the bald guys, and this puff of energy pops out of it and just zooms out of the room. And that's actually the first moment that they notice you, because you are not the craziest thing happening in this room.
Yeah, not even by a long shot.
You guys outside keeping an eye on the casino, or keeping an eye on the roof, mm-hmm. you see this little puff of energy fly up and they just see it go by. And then they both, basically the two guys outside, lower their heads, raise their arms, and this pillar of light appears between them.
That is not good. Start making a beeline to the...
head into the restaurant?
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's get in there.
Okay. You guys bust into a surprisingly silverware-less restaurant.
What kind of savages are these?
We'll say that you guys go ahead and make it in, even though there is a torrent of people trying to make their way out through the front door. And basically, as you guys walk in, you see that big, beefy guy that was with Lottle earlier just... Or rather, you see a curtain that has something inside it fly at you guys and crash into a table before it stands up and rips it open to show that it's that guy. Who wants to be the last one in?
Who's the fastest?
Not it. That's, I think that'd be Orin.
Bro, I got a speed of 6.
I have a speed of 7.
Ah.
Okay, so we'll go Sakaar, Orym, and either Randos or Ket. Who wants to be last?
I'll be last.
Okay, so everybody goes in, and as you're running in, out of the corner of your eye, you see that from this pillar is, like, basically some enormous thing is descending. It looks kind of bluish and golden and appears to have a lot of wings.
Ah, look out!
So yep, you guys are in the restaurant. This guy crashes through the table, stands up, and basically there's just like a melee going in there.
Can we see where Little Sparkle is?
Yep, Little Sparkle is in there.
Well, then so am I.
Yeah, try to make our way there.
Okay. So, what would you say you guys would like to accomplish in this scene?
We would like to get the rune.
Yes.
And get out alive.
That is our expectation. Get a rune, get out alive.
And the assistant.
Or mostly alive.
Yes, and the assistant at this point, because she has forfeited her right to that assistant by not listening to my many I told you so's.
Well, in her defense, we are wrong like all the time. Like literally every single time we as a unit are wrong.
Yeah, so, well, this time when I said these people will kill you, I was wrong.
And when I said we should kill her first and save her from being killed, you know.
I will point out that she does seem to be pretty well guarded, and you guys were not necessarily expecting that. You do recognize all of these guys from the bar.
I suppose that's true.
All right, so that sounds good to me. Get the rune, get out.
Yes.
Let's call this a skill challenge.
Skills challenge.
Yay! With bonus objective of get the assistant.
Because we've been rolling so great.
Yep.
Would you?
Now it's time to shine.
All right. Who wants their face to drive?
Yo.
Yes. Okay. Let's let Kit be the one, since he is the one that got us into this situation.
Oh. I didn't get us into this situation. Kit, I just lost the assistant.
And in his defense, we really pushed him into it. We spent half an episode going, come on, Rob, you won't be cool if you don't do it. And you know how he cannot in any way defend against peer pressure.
No. Little Sparkle initiative?
Yeah, sorry, I'm just I had to add in the, what's it called? The D20 plus.
Yeah.
Twice.
The cramps and the stats.
Nonsense.
I like that.
Second. There we go. 29.
36.
Or I'm 36.
21.
Cat 21.
Cat in the middle of the pack.
13.
13. And Sakaar?
19.
Okay. Let's rack them up.
Set them up and knock them down.
Sakaar's not too likely to steal too much of my things.
Hey, yeah. This is actually probably the best way we can have it.
Good Orym goes after me.
Yeah.
That's
so you
right.
Just do the same thing that Orym does. Because he already can't use that skill, yeah. So you might as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll so let me set up the scene for you guys again. You're in a restaurant. There's like patrons fleeing. There are these two guys, two bald guys dressed like immaculately. One of them is shooting bolts of white light at people. The other one has like materialized a like amazing holy sword of righteousness and is basically just chopped through a table. That's on one side. On the other side, maybe in order of least to most weird, there's Ulatl. She's got a knife out. She seems like she knows how to use it. Then there's that beefy guy who is basically sprinting back to that to the corner. Then there is a guy who has a wand. His eyes are glowing, and he's actually largely doesn't seem to be engaging with the bald guys. He's mostly like zapping his own people and like essentially either teleporting them away or putting like a little force field on them. And then there's a guy who's got like a super crazy, like weird magnetic engine on his chest and is doing all kinds of weird stuff, like shooting forks and spoons at people. And or he'll like make like a magnetic whip of silverware, like all the silverware is like touching at one point and he's just like whipping it around at those guys. Those guys, by the way, are like really kind of kick-ass fighters. One of them has the one with the sword has the rune in his hand. So at the top of the round, it is to, that's just how I remember the round. It is to Orym.
All right, I am going to use Arcana and try to blast the guy with the magnetic chest plate that's causing all the silverware to fly around, because that's somewhat dangerous, and with him out of the way, that should hopefully clear up a path for people to make their way where they need to go.
Okay, roll it.
31?
31's a success.
All right.
Yeah.
Yep, Orym shoots a blast at that guy, and it knocks him into the wall, and then a bunch of flying silverware falls to the ground. Little Sparkle.
Little Sparkle is going to attempt to kind of like, in her whole, I'm being so heroic here, try to like kind of like, get into a position next to the guy with a sword who's defending himself and Ulatl against the people they're selling stuff to. And then in the process, attempt to do kind of a exchange where she'll have grabbed an actual coaster from the restaurant and try to swap that with the thing he's holding.
Okay. That is a thievery check if ever I've heard of one.
Sounds good.
Normally, 37. Normally not allowed to thieve something someone's actively holding, but that is hilarious, so I will allow it. 37 is a success.
Sweet.
Yep, okay. Little Sparkle has the football. It is the cat.
All right. I'm actually going to use Streetwise to weave through the crowd to get up to where Little Sparkle is so we can power back through the crowd and get out.
Okay.
Ugh.
Ooh.
That is not a success.
Yeah.
22.
22. I'll choose not to reroll it right now.
Okay. So Cat's got this great plan. He's going to weave to the crowd, then help Little Sparkle out. And as he basically starts to make his way, a big chunk of the roof just gets torn off. And up, like directly above Cat, is an angel. It has glowing eyes, no mouth, bald, has four wings. It's glowing golden and blue, and it's enormous. It is like it can basically, like, any given one of you would look like a big action figure, but an action figure in its hand, and essentially starts to reach in to see what it can grab.
He's fantastic.
Which is probably going to be Ket.
No.
Sekar's turn.
What did Ket use?
Streetwise.
Streetwise. Oh, good. I suck at that. I wouldn't use that anyway. All right. Seeing a big hand come crashing through the roof and seeing that Hazard is clearly in its path, utilizing his massive athletic skills, Sekar is going to try to do another one of these similar Batman moves that he did to get Randus down and out and actually kind of jump through and half carry, half move Ket out of the way. In an awesome fashion.
Yep, the jump and grab and roll. Sakara is getting really good at those.
Yes, and the best part is, it's athletics.
Yep, so you roll two dice.
So I can roll two dice.
Yep.
But I don't remember how to do them.
Slash R, 2d20, K1. Oh, and don't forget the bonus.
K1, doodly-doo-doo, math is hard, boodly-doodly-doo. Did that work?
It did.
Hey, Beautimus.
But
that is 30.
But that does not succeed.
That would probably be worth action pointing.
I agree.
Yep.
In mid roll.
For the price of one.
In mid roll, mind you. I can action point and do the same roll again, yes.
Yep. Same two dice.
And I can do the 2D2Ds.
Yep.
Okay, in mid-roll, I've clearly miscalculated, so...
Hey, nice.
37 this time.
All right, that is a success. Sakaar gets Ked out of the way and simultaneously gets both of them right up to Little Sparkle. Sakaar is standing. Ked is kind of on his belly, but, you know, he can get up. And that is to Randus.
Go team, sort of, kind of primal.
Well, he got a big angel crashing into the sky, or, you know, skylight, but I do have a pretty good religion score. Trying to think, how could I draw it off of us?
You could call your assistant.
Look over there, it's the devil! Hey! What, you got the pointy ears?
The problem. I don't want to draw his ire.
How's your bluff, though? If you
you don't want to flip.
So, well, you want to make a religion check to distract it?
Yeah,
is that what you said?
Yeah. Dude, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, all right.
Let's see how this goes.
That's a nice petard. Why don't you hoist yourself with it?
Oh, that's a crap roll. Wow. action point there?
Yes, okay. Please.
I would agree.
Much better. 33.
That's maybe better. But I think 35 is our threshold.
No.
No.
31 is the...
Oh.
Yeah, we got a 31 success.
A 31 hit?
Yeah.
And a 30 did not.
All right. That is a success. Basically, it's reaching down, and Randus is like kind of running, maybe runs out of the restaurant, kind of trying to recall. And then he just, you know, shouts out something like, I don't know, a Bradiel of the 17th Sephiroth or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the angel like pauses and like looks over at him. He's like, he just wasn't expecting somebody to say his name.
Wow. Nice.
I've learned some things in the Celestial Crusade.
Yep. All right, Randus has that thing's attention.
We're all going to die.
Oh. So I was trying to think, if I blaspheme at it, that'd probably be bad.
Yep.
Curse it.
I'll also give you for free that this you did manage to... Or it did stop because you called its name, but this angel is bound. You're not going to really be able to... or you might have a way of disrupting that, but knowing its name probably helps, but just saying its name is not going to help.
All right.
Top of the round, an angel has torn a roof or a hole in the roof. And... a furious fight is happening inside, and you are all kind of poised to get out. Well, did Orym go last round, or did I skip him?
No, I went first. So we're at the top of the round.
Yep, top of the round. So, yep, it is to Orym again.
So history is all about book learning stuffs.
Correct.
So seeing that Sakaar and Ket have made their way over to Little Sparkle, I would have had to have had at least some military class... And I can see that they're trying to form a wedge to try to push their way out of the bar. Could I use my military tactics skill learned in my Battlefield 101?
Yes, sure.
Uh,
31. 31's a success.
Nice.
So I see what they're going, get in line with them, and... we start to form up.
Okay. Yep. You guys form up and start to basically make your way out of the restaurant, at which point the front doors blow up and those other two guys that were on the roof are now there in front of you.
Wow.
It is to Sparkle.
Then she is going to pop the cork off of her smoking bottle. and try to just like douse the room in like a smoke screen and use that to try to sneak away around those, past those guys with the football, as it were.
They okay. call that the ninja path.
Yes.
Yes.
Making a stealth check.
Go for it.
Path.
That's going to be a 30. So I am going to use always a natural to reroll that.
Okay.
Into a 44.
Nice.
There you go.
That is higher.
Much higher.
Okay.
Is that a win? That's a win.
Sparkle. Ninja vanishes and manages to get a little ways away, far enough away to see a couple locust tanks making their way to the scene.
I mean, they did summon a giant angel in the middle of like a big district.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't really know what they thought was going to happen here.
Kep.
I would like to use insight to gather everybody's reactions, figure out what's going on based on how everybody's acting, so we can tell Sakaar to get us whichever direction we need to be going.
Okay.
Cool. Oh my god. 27. I'm going to use my action point.
Come on, Kat. You're better.
32.
Yay! There you go.
All right. That is... Yep, Kat analyzes all battlefield tactics and figures out the best possible way to go.
It's like, all right, Sakaar, I think we should go out the back.
Agreed.
We should probably, well, all right.
There's two tanks coming this way, an angel and the badasses.
Ah. That's a good call.
And Sakaar, it is to Sakaar.
Hearing Kat's tactical analysis, we'll use the mighty perception of his years of warden perceptivity and find the shortest point without getting annihilated, squished by an angel, hit by a giant thing, burst into flame, and or somebody grabbing us by the neck and killing us dead.
Okay.
That's perception.
Sounds good. Yep.
Okay.
Sounds good.
I like the sound of that. What the hell's my perception? Boy, I hope it's good.
Should be okay.
I don't get to roll too.
Wisdom's your secondary, I think.
On your nat 1 earlier, you still had a higher perception than I did.
Shh. I'm not saying that he's got the keen eyes of a hawk and the nose of a glorious iguana.
93. Sorry, not rolling a D201.
That damn K. I took out the
unbelievable.
K.
Unbelievable.
That's actually not a terribly good roll on a D201.
You have to admit, it was worth it. Isn't it great? Worth that final moment? Are we going to make it 93?
Yep. If you expect the natural roll to be about 125.
Yes.
Jesus, I hate roll 20.
And okay. Roll 20 hates us.
Let's try it without the one. How about a 33
yes.
for perception?
That's good.
Leaping from space to space with all the team. We are an awesome team of teamness.
Yep. Sakaar finds the way. To not get killed and essentially basically gets Orym, Randus, and Kat out of the immediate danger of the angels and the tanks and the bald guys and those other guys.
Over a table, across the bar, slide, duck under the angel arm, roll, kick the door open, flip out. That's what happened. Or words
that is effect. That is exactly what happened. Essentially on the other side of the chaos where little Sparkle Ninja vanished to, she actually spots
Ularo, like, moving through the streets.
Is she just trying to get out of Dodge, or is she trying to, like, find us and kill us?
No, she seems to be moving with the intent of moving away from the fight.
Fair enough.
If you're invisible, just kick her in the butt.
All right. Well, I'm really considering using Kenku ventriloquism to imitate Randus's voice and call the assistant and see if that works. I don't know how the whole turnover ownership worked.
I mean, that's something you could try.
All right. Then, yeah, I'm going to, basically duck somewhat out of sight and then say, yell in Randus's voice, like, assistant, come to me.
So she's running down the street, and the assistant jumps out of, basically it's just grabbing onto her back.
Uh-huh.
And it just jumps down and skitters towards the voice and then stops. Mm. And then she stops as well and then turns around.
Now you have to kill her.
Is it like within arm, like how far am I from it and from her at this point?
We'll say you're about a block down from them. So basically you're a block from her, half a block from the assistant.
I'm going to sprint up to the assistant, grab it and run off.
Okay. And I'm guessing in the opposite direction from
her.
Yes,
in the opposite direction.
Okay.
Two people running in slow motion. No!
You grab the assistant and take off running.
Mm-hmm.
You hear a loud, ah! meanwhile, we'll say that Little Sparkle runs right into these guys because she's trying to get away from the explosion and moving away. So it's really, there's kind of only one general direction in which you can do it. So she intercepts them pretty easily.
Cool. Then she will, like, just hand this, I assume, squirming crab thing right back at Randus, and we should keep running.
Hey. Thank you.
I agree.
Did you get both? Run. Did you get both?
She'll, like, reach to the thing just to make sure that it is actually the thing she came for as opposed to the coaster.
It is not a coaster.
Yay! So she'll, like, lift it up and toss it in her bag of holding.
Okay.
And we run.
Fantastic.
Away from the chaos before the tanks get here.
Ugh, where are we running to?
Wherever there are not bad people that want to hurt us.
So
let's see how many good decisions I can make.
We're at least leaving the continent based on that.
Probably the northern continent.
I hear it's nice this time of year. I think we're going to try to basically get off this platform.
Okay. Back to the slums?
Yes.
Running through the streets like the warriors on our way to Coney Island. That's my one.
Coney Island, that's a good example.
Yes.
Well, let's
Navy Pier!
Let's see how that works out for us next time on Critical Hit.
On Critical Hit!
If you have questions, podcast at majorspoilers.com, comments at majorspoilers.com, on Twitter, or Bore Mortal if you want to reach out to Rob, or D&D Brian if you want to reach out to Brian, or Fearsome Critter to reach out to Rodrigo. Sam, what is yours again? I keep forgetting.
Samantha Nelson 1,
or Mighty King Cobra if you want to reach out to Matthew. And until next time, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC. Ah!
Podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.